You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. Michael and Nicola Sacker opened the first outpost of Mungo and Maud in 2005. The Dog and Cat Outfitters has since built up a global community of passionate followers and loyal fans, from pet owners to pooches. In their shops and on their website, you'll find products ranging from hand-stitched leather collars to minimalist cotton beds. The husband and wife team joined us in the studio to talk us through how they've turned Mungo and Maud into the world's top shop for discerning pets.
We got our dog, and he's an English setter. It's rather large. And it comes with all sorts of things that you have to then buy for the home, like a bed that's quite enormous. And at the time, there were really only traditional pet stores, so the offerings were quite limited, to say the least. And I'm quite drawn to aesthetics in life and beauty and refinement. And having a great big primary coloured fluffy bed was not really on my agenda. So it sparked this Eureka idea. And that's where it went from there.
I've always had retail in my blood because Marks & Spencer was our family business. So I cut my teeth in the early years at Marks & Spencer, and that's where I really sort of learnt about all that I know about retail.
I was a TV producer and I worked in advertising, so I had quite a good training in production, and I suppose retail, running a business, is one big production and hopefully longer lived than the short ones that I was doing before.
We did quite a lot of research at the beginning. We went out and we had a look at what was available in the market. We had a look at what was available in North America, because there were more interesting offerings in North America that weren't available over this side of the pond. But we found quite quickly that even there were some quite big gaps. So when we started off, we used to buy in quite a lot of product, but really within the first 12 months or so, we turned it around completely. We realised we just had to design our own product, and now we're virtually totally our own private label product offering.
We didn't know of anything because it didn't really exist, so I didn't really go out seeking advice at that point from anywhere else. We had to really trust our own instincts, and that was quite a scary moment in some ways, because you don't really know if what you're thinking other people will respond to. But it really was sort of one of those moments where it was a life-changing moment that I left my career for it. I really believed in it. I believed that the market was really stagnant and in a sort of place that, of course, pet shops are really valid and they still have a place. But I felt like this wasn't necessarily about pets, in inverted commas. It was about people's houses, how they lived, what they wore. And I just felt very strongly about it. And there was no one really to consult. It was quite strange. It was a bit like jumping in at the deep end, but we did. We took a leap of faith and went for it.
Over the years, there were lots of people who we spoke to who some offered solicited advice, many offered unsolicited advice. I mean, if you listen to everybody's advice, you never do anything because every other person tells you something different. But I'm not arrogant enough to think that there aren't and haven't been a lot of things that we have learnt from other people.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, over the years, you do find trusted people who you can turn to about specific different things, different matters. But at the end of the day, you really have to sort of get on with it with yourself, and you try different things and you hope that more things work out than don't work out.
The more and more I work in business, I kind of think it's a bit like a parallel to life. There's no real right and wrong. You make the best decisions you can at the time. In hindsight, it's a wonderful, easy thing. Do we always get it right? Absolutely not. But those things one really does learn from, so is valuable. We learned a lot from possibly looking at markets, thinking, well, many other brands just flood the market with stores, and we were quite sort of held back in that way. And now with the internet growth and things like that, it's actually, I think, we made a good decision, not that we wouldn't expand more, but just to take it in a careful, sort of more languid approach.
It certainly has been and remains important to us to remain in control of the strategic side, and particularly the creative development of the business. I mean, you know, it very much depends on what one's model is. If you go down the private equity approach, which is something that we've looked at over the years, then you do effectively change the model that you're working towards, and then you fall into the situation of having to open a lot of stores quickly, and it may, you know, influence the creative vision you have of the business. I mean, I don't think there's a sort of right or wrong answer, but I think for us, what we've done is the right way. We are very keen to develop the business more, and we do have associations with people who I hope will be able to help us develop the business in Asia, where we have a good market. So we're very keen to develop the business, and I think it's important to us to keep things under control and to do things in a slower, more measured way.
I think it's about finding the right people to work with. Yeah. And it's a bit like a marriage. Well, we are married, so that's kind of goes without saying. But it is like a marriage in some ways, that you have to find the right people you connect with that understand where you're at, understand the vision that you have, and then can help you develop it. And very often, I think, with certain brands, what's happened is that you get people from the outside who don't really have a creativity or an understanding of that approach, and then just want the money very quickly and kill brands quite easily off like that.
Fortunately, my dear wife is a very effective public relations player, so an awful lot of broadening the message falls into her lap. I mean, it's partly opportunistic. I mean, public relations has always been very important to us. I'm very much a believer that it's worthwhile meeting anybody who is interested in meeting you, because you never know. Always found that the most interesting, the most useful contacts come from the most unexpected directions, and the people you really think are going to deliver big time tend to be the ones who disappoint. Face-to-face meetings are absolutely crucial, and that's something that I've always emphasised. And I think that in this day and age, it's very easy for people not to do that. Even the people we work with, you know, I'm always encouraging them to go out and meet people, not to spend all their time messaging each other or emailing each other. I think it's terribly important. We've got very good long-term relationships with some of our vendors, and we have vendors all over the world, and it is terribly important to make the effort to meet them from time to time. We make sure we do that.
I would definitely say, whoever would try and think about setting up their own business or being entrepreneurial about things, make sure it's something you feel completely passionate about and you feel creative about in whatever it is that you do. Definitely take a pile of coins and count them and make sure you've got enough in the bank, and probably a lot of deep breathing to go with it, because there are moments that are great and exhilarating and inspiring, and there are other moments that are quite scary. That's the truth of it.
You just have to keep the big picture at the forefront of your mind, and you just have to learn and try not to get more stressed than you have to by the setbacks that happen inevitably along the way, and you have to love what you do.
Our products continually evolve, although there are many that stay in our sort of classic core collection. I would say our classic bed has a major following, so it sort of comes in, goes out. Our organic treats have been there since time began, and I think the dogs are sort of really happy about those. And there are constant changes, and I want it to be like that. I don't want to stay still, but at the same time, I like things that have a timeless value to them as well. So it's a balance.
It's very much a sort of evolutionary process. We're always tempted to sort of develop out into other areas. One area that comes up from time to time that people ask us about, say, why don't you do something in the dog food area? I mean, my view is that dog food is a very particular market. It's quite specialist, and there's a lot more that we can do within our own kind of product area that we already run. So it's very much a sort of evolutionary process. I'm always pushing my business partner to develop new products more quickly.
Always pushing him to spend more money.
Thanks very much to Michael and Nicola Sacker, the founders of Mungo & Maud, for coming in. Thanks too to Gaia Lutz, who produced this show, and to Kieran Matthew Banerjee, who edited it. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.